Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. Today's program is on the eve of humanity's first baby steps toward conquest of the universe, which is the universal manifest destiny of humanity, as we are told time and again by Homo Supremos of every era. Tomorrow, July 20th, is also the rebirth of a small potatoes newspaper from a three-year crypt exactly 10 years after an Earthman pronounced the moon a magnificent desolation 49 years ago. In response to Donald Trump's persistent attack on the First Amendment, and in particular the integrity of American journalism, which he maligns with lies and threats as fake news, I offer a screed I wrote for the reborn North Coast Times Eagle, which I have also orated on this program previously. Yet in this Nero-Caligulan age of Trump, it never has seemed more compelling than right now. And it might be of relative note that yesterday in 64 BC, Rome burned, for which Nero has always been the accused arson. And Mein Kampf, perhaps one of the few books Trump might have read, was published July 18th, 1925. And for my screed, which I claim my opinion, and my opinion perhaps only in all of the universes, talk of the nation. And a quote by the late Reverend Billy Hultz, censorship is more obscene than obscenity. And he wrote that for his paper, The Upper Left Edge. July is a month in which we celebrate freedom. The larger voices proclaim America as the freest, most wonderful, and exceptionalist country on earth. The USA is the world's conscience, they shout, and unfurl the flags of worldly preeminence and godly jingoism. Quieter voices disagree, which is not to say that the ideals of freedom are not present within the nation, or that their intent is less than political freedom and equality for everyone who presently and in the future dwell within its borders. It is that the actuality is far less than advertised. July is also the anniversary of a newspaper I resurrected from a three-year crypt 39 years ago. The first issue of the Born Again North Coast Times Eagle soared off the press on July 20th, 1979, 10 years to the day after human beings first walked on the moon. The Eagle has landed, shouted its page one banner line that first issue. I was able to publish the paper for nearly 30 years and proudly boasted that I never made a nickel in profit. Poverty wasn't its undoing, and not the raffish radicalism that was its heart and soul. The Times Eagle was obsoleted by digital technology, print technology in particular. The rebirth of the Times Eagle was explained in its first manifesto. 3 years after a wretched, untimely death, the born-again bird was revived that last century summer, quote, because First Amendment newspapers have become as rare as the nation's symbol, the bald eagle. The independent press has virtually disappeared in the huge corporations that control the country and probably the world. In this age of the great systems, devotion to any principle than the status quo seems quaint and naive and faintly dangerous. But the enormous pressures of population and economics threaten the way we live. The great contradictions between freedom and property have finally reached us on the Oregon coast. Like everything else, the role of the press is in question. There should be no doubt. The press should have no special interest than the First Amendment. This becomes patently impossible when the press is controlled by corporations whose interests are often in conflict with the Constitution. The great renegade journalist A.J. Liebling once said, the press was free only to those who owned one. And that was the first editorial of the North Coast Times Eagle. Nearly everyone claims to love the idea of freedom of thought, speech, and performance, but a great many feel uncomfortable with freedoms and opinions they do not endorse, generally regarding them as sources of moral, economic, or patriotic decline of the nation. A free press is the guiding, if not always realized, principle of newspapers and broadcast journalism, the so-called media that dominates our lives and culture. But it is particularly the obsessive grail of underfunded and poorly circulated independent small potatoes publications like the now defunct Times Eagle and limited range listener sponsored radio and television stations that continue to believe that human beings ought by right of birth be free. And if they are not, at the very least, they should be able to think and speak freely without retribution. Controversy, that irrationally feared word, is the true language of democracy. The robust dialectic of conflicting opinions. Without controversy, there is no dialogue, only abject obedience to command or directive. The only appropriate response to controversial or unpopular speech or ideas is public rebuttal, not censorship. Yet those who claim to rule in democracy's name continually conspire to enlarge their own powers by limiting the range of ideas and information indispensable to political and personal liberty. To remain at liberty, or at least preserve what remains of our liberties and eventually venture into a more just and compassionate climate, the influx and dissemination of information, ideas, and opinions are necessary. The problem is that it has been nearly sacred doctrine that an informed citizenry will act reasonably and with sound judgment. The reality is that the vast bulk of information and data on every conceivable and esoteric matter from everywhere in the world at all times of day, every day, infinitely exacerbated by digital technology and the sheer volume of its variety, statistics, factoids, opinion polls, ideas, and perceptions that range from factastic to meretricious, and reportage of events from births to wars to the latest corporate mergers, such as increasing monopoly of the media that cheerfully obits its own confiscation, is incomprehensible. At some finite point, the beleaguered brain overloads and shuts off. Public apathy is not accidental or the result of not having sufficient access to information. It is most usually the opposite, a premeditated response to a society awash in paper and verbiage. We know too much. It is this which confounds the believers of information as the temple of freedom. To cull through the immensities of twaddle and drivel to discern what is pertinent, or work through the purposely misleading, might ultimately be too much to require or expect of a citizen. Suppression, after all, fires the wronged spirit. Gluttony buries it. Information presented to the American public is most often through a sequence of events or spectacle labeled news. Ideas and opinions in mainstream media are subdivided into editorial sections of newspapers or as commentary segments of radio, TV newscasts. Most women and men employed in the news-gathering profession do not think of themselves as propagandists or ideologues. On the contrary, the majority earnestly attempt the improbability of objective and unbiased recording and dissemination of events, incidents, facts, and occasionally account for ideas through interviews, opinion, polls, and surveys. They try to treat the news, in the words of Gene Fowler, as history shot on the wing. But of course, they reflect and project the established biases of their society and the industry they serve, the media, a knotted mafia of smoke and mirrors of which truth is ephemeral, chimerical, and expendable. The insidious aspect of the pursuit of objectivity as the cornerstone of modern journalism is that inevitably the form is used to disguise and project very partisan ideas and perspectives by those who manage and rule society and supervise mainstream media. If anyone took stock of the contemporary use of media and speech freedoms, it should confirm the worst cynicisms about the content of information transmitted as news and entertainment, emphasis on trivial and scandalous stories rather than focusing on economic, chemical, or environmental issues that affect humanity's billions. Banal, violent, and sexually exploitive spectacles blatantly conjured to distract the citizenry from the real business of a democratic society. Controversy, flirtation with original ideas, as well as divergence from status quo journalism, is anathema to mega media, which consolidates immense technologies to hyperless, salacious, mendacious, and indigestible. The growth of huge interlocking newspaper chains and entertainment networks nationally and worldwide has long made news gathering and reporting hostage to advertising and profit, and concentration of ownership threatens the diversity of independent media through which the public is presented multiple views and perceptions. Television, of course, changed everything. Without TV, a person has little to talk about with anyone. The vision television projects has become the prevailing, not to say pervasive, vision of our culture. Even when it is criticized as a narrow, superficial, and self-serving distortion, a vast wasteland. TV is yet the defining edge. It represents, reflects, and is the cause of what we are and how we view ourselves through its one-way prism. More than any other medium or mode of communication, television has precipitated the question of who is in control of the information that assaults us through its flickering window, night and day, in an interminable stream of words and visions. More people watch television than read. Reading, although antique, is yet a relatively recent form of communication, a cumbersome abstract that beams its script directly to the brain and requires forests to provide readable pulp. First radio, now TV, and of course film, which is upstage theater, return information to its ancient forms of voice and performance, though film is rendered obsolete by digital pixels, first VCRs, then DVDs. The spoken word is mesmerizing, and its eloquence surpasses its content. What might be recognized as hogwash and claptrap when read is often captivating when spoken or presented visually as melody and form rather than content or substance. MTV and the infamous political commercial soundbite telescope the form even more. The greater part of a century of radio TV advertising, during which an average of 70 to 80% of Americans have passively accommodated outrageous commercial falsehoods, has probably eroded our capacity to recognize or critically evaluate truth. At some point, language is obscured, transposed from communication to promotion and transaction, from clarification to obfuscation and manipulation. Truth is not necessary, only the chimera of truth, or truthiness, or more pertinent, adhering to the principles of advertising and propaganda. If a lie is told often enough, it is accepted as truth, agreed upon fictions that masquerade as reality to distort and manipulate circumstances and are eventually recorded as historical certainty. The trend is that mega corporations are increasingly in control of the information we receive, and they influence political and legal decisions about its use and flow, such as the 1985 Oregon State Supreme Court ruling that corporations, which are classified as individual persons under the law, cannot be investigated and reported about without great risk of libel suit. That ruling, which was against a Portland weekly newspaper and favored a major bank, said essentially that while celebrities of the moment can be inexhaustively exhumed in the media, institutions that affect the lives of millions are virtually sealed off from public scrutiny. Similar to that ruling is the U.S. Supreme Court, as well as the Oregon Supreme Court, interpretation of campaign donations as free speech. The nation and its citizens are rapturously plugging into an electronically digital megacosm of infotainment that proposes infinite possibilities and no few dark prophecies. This neologic information conduit is plastic, fluid, and still unpredictable despite political and corporate invasion of its cyberspaces. But the pervasive ambitions of monopoly by government and the newly consolidated mediocrities reverberate through electronic and print networks. Power in the new world corporate capitalist order is shifting to control and manipulation of the immense flow of information, up until recently a vital resource, but now a post-Orwellian system of indoctrination, propaganda, and sensationalism. There are currently as many forms of communication as there are groups of special interest using them. It would seem that half the stars at night are communication satellites orbiting Earth. Worldwide satellite transmission has dramatically changed radio, television programming and access, and provides with undersea fiber optic cables, global internet webs, and ubiquitous fax, instantaneous information everywhere on the planet. The proliferation of special interest groups, citizens groups, political action committee, even library boards and soap opera fan clubs saturate us with information, virtually all of it self-promotional, biased, and of questionable veracity. Technology, in particular satellites, fiber optics, and computers, has enabled the immense growth of communications conglomerates that are instantaneous and global. Multinational corporations, which might be considered private governments that influence and often dominate public governments, are able to transmit and receive data in endless flow through subsidiaries everywhere on Earth. They are also able to control and manipulate information pertinent to their activities, which gives them powers unanticipated by the framers of the Constitution, whose concerns were limited to the powers of reigning government. The basic idea of communication in the vast centralized societies of the current era is to profit from the self-interested reflexes of couch potato masses and to stimulate world markets. Rarely is education or libertarian stimulation given priority or airtime. The real purpose of the press media is little understood, which is as much its own fault as it is cause and effect of public skepticism and distrust. The people expect event and spectacle, which are ardently chronicled, and the infotainment mediocrity provides instant celebrity and fashion, as well as scandal, as instantly recycled and refashioned. But the prime function of the media is to act as the public conscience and critical watchdog of authority, the cry of alarm when authority is exceeded or corrupt. Its essential responsibility is to act as a forum and instrument of public dialogue and debate, presenting differing views, even as U.S. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said, expressions of opinion that we loathe and believe fraught with death. The media in all its hydra forms does an inadequate job. It is probably impossible to examine, publish, and broadcast the billions of bits of data generated every day. There is too much to write about, to televise and report, to think about, to debate and discuss, and it moves too quickly, changes too abruptly to pin down suitably or process adequately. In response to the limitless glut of information, a significant trend in media traffic is paradoxically towards specific or more ominously specialized audiences. Mainstreaming more often seems to mean segmenting into selective user groups that become hermetically sealed by appropriate media. Consolidation and distortion of a free press have continually given rise to small and independent newspapers and magazines, and to public broadcast media such as Free Speech TV and listener-owned radio stations KMUN and Astoria and Portland's KABU, whose only allegiance is to the First Amendment. National public broadcasting, highly praised and severely criticized, is buffeted by corporate aspirations and political sabotage. The independent advocacy media, which has few pretensions toward objectivity and fewer illusions about its probability, provides an insistent and vital forum that mainstream media ignores for the exchange, analysis, understanding, and argument of issues that are at the base of every culture and society. Its lineage threads back to the rough and prickly press that gave birth to the First Amendment, which denies government or anyone else the right to interfere with freedom of speech. Although it seldom reflects popular opinion and operates on the cultural edge where mega media fears to go, independent micromedia is obsessed with a vision unaffected by commerce and is powered by the belief that if it does not remain free, nothing soon afterward will be free. Most small independent journals and broadcast media are chronically understaffed, underfunded, and generally misunderstood. They act often myopically and insensitively as consciences and torchbearers, and most are shrill and fierce advocates of large or esoteric causes. They are usually on hard times and fail more often than they are replaced. No one should be surprised that government or its corporate doppelgangers rarely encourage liberty or independent opinion among their subjects, workers, or consumers. Democracies are elaborate power balances between diverse parties and factions that constantly seek advantage over the others. A most important assumption of a democracy is that the flow of information should not be tampered with nor be restricted if a democracy is to survive the incessant tugs of war between its factions. But of course, manipulating information is among the primary priorities of political and economic power, whose purveyors accurately assume the general populace will not give much thought to mind control efforts most of the time. Policing public morality, claiming, of course, that it is only being reflected, is usually an indecently popular and effective method of intruding control over what we read in our newspapers, listen to on our radios, and view on our televisions, and are ultimately persuaded to accept as truth and reality, when in reality our vision has been distorted, our perception atrophied, as are our personal values and liberties. There is no single right or truth, nor is there a single wrong or deceit. Shades fog every issue, denying absolutes, no matter how insistently projected. Stripping First Amendment rights and freedoms is critical to attempts to undermine democracy. The First Amendment has not prevented impositions of religious or political orthodoxy. The excessive and blatant repression of the McCarthy era ruined the lives and professions of many of the nation's best writers, artists, and teachers. Internet censorship is disguised as protection of children. Christian fundamentalists in particular have sought to ban books from schools and public libraries for decades, and other censorious groups demand control over the contents of school textbooks and suppression of everything from pornography to Mother Goose. A free and open flow of information, regardless of ideology or opinion, despite the strenuous labor of separating truth from fiction, deceit, gossip, and obscenity, information from disinformation, is quite truthfully the only method of preserving what remains of our freedoms and the only chance to emerge from a turbulent world that is still recoiling from the collapse of a morbidly tyrannical and static empire that claimed to be a dictatorship of the people. The First Amendment is unequivocal. Nothing shall abridge freedom of speech, therefore freedom of thought. It is our distinguishing ideal, unfortunately, more in theory than actuality. Not our wealth or world power, nor our system of acquisition and consumption is as important as the inspired attempt to reverse history and make it possible for people to be equal and independent under laws of their own choice. The day the first press is confiscated or the first publisher of an alternative publication is branded a terrorist and jailed for national security reasons, the mainstream media will have to wake up. Peter B. Smith, the brains behind the Riley eccentric and stalwart Bay City Slug, the newspaper that hates progress, has written. Though corporate owners of the print media might try and ignore the event, I am certain reporters and journalists who work for these monstrosities of misinformation will sound the alarm, Smith writes. Should they fail in their sacred duty, the alternative press will become the underground press, and we will have returned to the black days before the American Revolution. As long as the mainstream press doesn't do its job, the alternative press will, come what may. And that was something I wrote with the last quote by Peter Smith. Talk of the nation. And this is Michael McCusker. The last few thoughts focus on Donald Trump as atavistic astronaut. We already know that he thinks of himself as a master at double think and double talk, and that he parlays his convulsive lying into what he proudly considers stratagems of mesmerizing deceit that have propelled him into master of America and soon the world. Now we learn of his universal ambitions for an omnibus space militarism, most likely dusting off Reagan's options for Star Wars with Bush Jr.'s revised program for a space force and a variety of armed satellites orbiting Earth, and eventually aping the past absurdity of planting flags across Earth's oceans to claim foreign lands for kings and countries never heard of by the startled and subjugated inhabitants on the far shores, we are now to be made party to plundering of the solar system and perhaps eating the Milky Way as a continuing theme of making America great again.